Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 17 August, 2025, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truths of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, we are in a very magnificent passage, Romans 8, verses 19 to 27. We have in this passage illustrations of the principle of undeserved suffering for blessing. And they are described by three groans. Groan number one, the groan of nature. That's in Romans 8, verses 19 to 22, and we have studied that. The corrected translation sounds like this. Verse 19, for the confident expectation of creation, or nature, waits eagerly, and there's a special verb there used in each one of these groans, apekdekomai, waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Now here is nature and creation waiting for the second advent of Jesus Christ. The sons of God, well, that's you and me. And we will return with Jesus Christ as his bride. He'll be the groom. We return with him in our resurrection body. When Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, he establishes his kingdom on earth, the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year reign of Christ in perfect environment. So nature is waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, the second advent of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility. That was at the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. When man fell, Adam fell, nature came under a curse and has been under a curse from that day of the fall of man all the way up until the second advent when Jesus Christ returns. And then that curse is removed and that nature will be in perfect environment in the millennium. For the creation was subjected to futility at the fall of man against its own will. Well, that's the principle of undeserved suffering, against its own will. But because of the one, God the Father, who has subordinated it on the basis of the hope, the absolute confidence of the second advent of Jesus Christ and the revealing of the sons of God, the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years. Therefore, verse 21, even the material universe, nature, will also be set free from corrupting slavery and brought safely into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Verse 22, for we have learned the word of God in the past with the result that we know the word of God now in the present, namely that the entire realm of nature groans together with us and suffers the pains of childbirth with us until now. That's the first groan. The groan of nature that began with the fall of man is still going on and will until the second advent of Jesus Christ when he comes back and establishes his kingdom. Now, the second groan is the groan of the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer. Now, it would be great if all believers were winner believers, but they're not. There's a lot of believers that are out of fellowship with God. They're making bad decisions in their life. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. They're living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. So not all believers are winner believers. All believers will be in heaven. You can't lose your salvation. But there are a lot of believers that are making bad decisions right now in the United States of America. But there are believers making great decisions too. Great decisions for God. Great decisions for the Word of God. There are great believers growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. There are great believers fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. That's what the ones that we have here. When you reach that point of spiritual maturity, see, at salvation, you're born again. You start out as a baby, spiritual baby. And then you learn the Word of God and you grow up spiritually from being a baby to adolescence to spiritual maturity. And when you reach that point of spiritual maturity, you are qualified for fantastic blessings from God. For at the moment that you place your faith in Jesus Christ, here's the cross. The moment you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, God imputed his righteousness to you, establishing a grace pipeline with the justice of God on one end and the imputed righteousness of God in you on the other end. Here is this fantastic grace pipeline. And God, he set that grace pipeline up to send down that pipeline to you, to every believer. Fantastic blessings. Starts out right at the moment of salvation. You receive 40 spiritual blessings at the moment of salvation. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, 40 salvation blessings. And every day from that day of salvation right up to this morning, God's been sending down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world that you might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and reach spiritual maturity, then God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessings, greater grace blessings in time, and we're studying these greater grace blessings in great detail in our Thursday night class in 3 John. Gaius was a fantastic winner believer, spiritually mature believer, and he had these tremendous greater grace blessing package. He enjoyed every one of them. And the greatest of all of them in that greater grace blessing package is undeserved suffering for blessing. What an honor when you reach that point in your spiritual life that God can bless you to wear a mantle, the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing, the opportunity of glorifying God in suffering just as you glorify God in prosperity. So, greater grace blessings, and these greater grace blessings are given to you in time, and we're not here a very long time. We're here today and gone tomorrow. But greater grace blessings in time, and greater grace blessings that will be awarded to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. They're called crowns and rewards. Those crowns and rewards will be given to the spiritually mature believer at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture. So with the church, the resurrection of the royal family of God, the resurrection of the church occurs at the rapture. And the rapture is followed by the judgment seat of Christ. We will all be evaluated by Jesus Christ to see if we qualify to receive these greater grace blessings, crowns and rewards for all eternity. So, greater grace blessings in time, greater grace blessings awarded to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ for all eternity. Now, as a spiritually mature believer, as a winner believer, when you reach that point, God is free to give you one of the greatest categories of blessing ever, undeserved suffering for blessing. And that way we follow in Jesus Christ's steps. All of Jesus Christ's suffering was undeserved suffering. He was the impeccable God-man, sinless perfection. He never even committed one sin. But he went through a lot of suffering. And all of that was undeserved suffering. And when you reach spiritual maturity, you get to walk in those steps of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive undeserved suffering as well. It's a great honor. It's a great privilege. And that what we have here in the second groan. The second groan is the groan of the spiritually mature believer in verses 23 to 25. Verse 23, and not only this, the groaning of nature in verse 22, but also we ourselves, spiritually mature believers, possessing the first fruits of the Spirit. That's a down payment. That's a guarantee. First fruits means down payment, guarantee. From the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And here's our word again, apekdekomai, waiting eagerly for our adoption, namely the redemption of our body. That occurs at the rapture, our resurrection. At the rapture, we receive our resurrection body. For with reference to that future hope, the resurrection, rapture, and judgment seat of Christ, we have been saved. Now, when a hope is seen, it's not a hope. So then, who hopes for what he sees? But if we, spiritually mature believers, have confident expectation for what we do not see, what we do not see are these fantastic greater grace blessings that God has for us awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. A fantastic greater grace blessing, crowns and rewards for all eternity. First class condition, and we do. Then, by means of perseverance in our times of undeserved suffering for blessing, We opek dekomai. We wait eagerly for it. Well, we studied the first groan and we studied the second groan. That last part of verse 25, the word perseverance. This perseverance is the spiritually mature believers clearing the spiritual hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing. Now, I don't think there's any local church you'll ever hear about hurdling, except in Upland Bible Church, but that's because I ran hurdles when I was in college at Washington State University. And I see this as a great analogy to illustrate the principle. When you grow up and reach spiritual maturity, you will have undeserved suffering. Undeserved suffering, and it will be momentum testing, evidence testing. It'll be undeserved suffering like Job received. Job was the greatest believer on the face of the earth. And yet, Satan met with in heaven, in the court of heaven, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he's the greatest believer on the face of the earth. There's no believer like him. And then Satan says, "Yeah, well, look, he's a billionaire. He owns all this. He's got all this, all these animals. He's you put a wall of fire around him. You take all that wealth and stuff away from him, he'll curse you to your face." So the Lord says, "All right, take it all away from him, but don't touch his life." All of that was undeserved suffering for the greatest believer on the face of the earth, Job. Satan took it all away. And what did Job do? He didn't curse the Lord to his face. He said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He cleared the hurdle of undeserved suffering for blessing. He cleared the hurdle by using God's problem-solving devices and honored God in times of suffering, just as he honored God in times of prosperity. And then Satan went back before the Lord and says, chapter 2, the Lord says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on the entire earth." And Satan said, "Well, yeah, but skin for skin, you take his health away from him. You take his health away from him, he'll curse you to your face." So the Lord says, "All right, take his health away from him, but don't take his life." What was all that? Undeserved suffering. Undeserved suffering for a winner believer, a spiritually mature believer. And after all of his health was taken from him, he honored God and glorified God, and he did not curse Jesus Christ. He glorified God in his suffering as well as in his prosperity. That's undeserved suffering that God gives to the winner believer. Now, when Jesus Christ, all of his suffering was undeserved suffering. When you reach spiritual maturity, you qualify to walk in those steps and receive undeserved suffering. And the word here that describes clearing the hurdle of undeserved suffering for blessing is perseverance. This perseverance in verse 25 is the spiritually mature believers clearing the spiritual hurdle of undeserved suffering for blessing. Undeserved suffering for blessing is one of the greatest blessings given to the winner believer. Undeserved suffering puts the spotlight on the future greater grace blessings and reward that will be given, crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. It guarantees future blessing in eternity and provides intensification of present blessings in time. Now that brings us to the third groan. Groan number 3, Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. And this one is absolutely phenomenal. This is a, this grown is by God the Holy Spirit. This is one of the most unique demonstrations of God's magnificent grace to us. God the Holy Spirit prays intercessory prayer for the winner believer who is going through this intensified suffering for blessing. And there's times when he's going through it, he can't even pray for himself. Who steps in? God the Holy Spirit steps in and prays for you. And those prayers go to the Father and are answered 100% as God the Holy Spirit. How awesome is that? How great is that? God's fantastic grace for us. That God the Holy Spirit groans, it says here, but we're going to see it's an anthropopathism. He prays intercessory prayer on behalf of the winner believer going through this tremendous intensified suffering for blessing. So, groan number three this morning. Romans 8, 26 and 27. It starts out in Romans 8, 26. We always start with the thundering diction of the King James. It's thundering diction, but a lot of times hard to understand. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. We have the adverb hosautos, the postpositive conjunction de with the conjunction chi, the nominative singular of pneuma with the definite article, the present middle indicative of, this is a humdinger here, I hope I can get it on there, soon anti lambonomai. I might be able to get that one on there. Plus the dative singular of asthenia with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. The adverb hos autos looks like this in the Greek. There's the letter H. That's a mouth breathing over the word. That's the letter H in the Greek. H, long O, S, A, U, T, long O, S. Hosautos. Hosautos means in the same way. In the same way. Similarly. Likewise. We're going to translate it in the same way. And then the postpositive conjunction de is the transitional use of de, and it may be translated and, moreover, then, or now. We'll translate it and. So this says, and, in the same way, and then we have the word pneuma. Looks like that in the Greek. That's P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma. Now, a lot of you call it pneuma, but there's no silent letters in the Koine Greek. So, no great Greek would say pneuma. He said pneuma. Okay. Pneuma. That's the Spirit. The word for Spirit. And here it's used for the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. And then the conjunction chi is the adjunctive use of chi. You translate that also. And then we have this verb, and I'll see if I can get it up here. Soon anti lambonomai. That's one hell of a long word. No, that's one heaven of a long word. That's what that is. S-U-N-A-N-T-I-L-A-M-B-A-N-O-M-A-I. Soon, anti lambonomai. Soon, anti lambonomai. Now, This word is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Only two times. Our verse, Romans 8:26, and the only other place is Luke chapter 10, verse 40. Now, one of the things when you are exegeting the God-breathed scriptures, you can determine the meaning of a word by how it's used in other places. Well, this is used one other place, Luke chapter 10. So I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she, Martha, had a sister called Mary, who, moreover, was listening to the Lord's word seated at his feet. So Martha invited Jesus Christ to come into her home. Her sister Mary is sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, listening to his teaching of the word. Martha is working, and getting PO'd that Mary's not in there helping her. So verse 40. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work, all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. And help me there is soon anti lambanomai. Tell her to soon anti lambanomai me, to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, in fact he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and you are bothered, you're hot and bothered, about so many things, but only a few things are important and necessary. Really, only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary has put the Lord Jesus Christ and the mind of Christ, the Word of God, number one. And the Lord says, Mary has made great decisions here. So don't get after Mary. She's doing awesome. Now that's the word here. It's translated here, help. So soon, anti lambanomai means to help someone. It means to give a helping hand. To give a helping hand for someone. It means to come to the aid of someone. So soon, anti lambanomai, to help, to give a helping hand, to come to the aid of someone. And then we have asthenēia. That's A-S-T-H-E-N-E-I-A. Asthenēia. All right. Now, first of all, literally, point one, literally, asthenēia refers to bodily weakness. Literally. It refers to being sick or having a disease, bodily weakness, asthenēia. That's the literal translation. Two, generally, asthenēia refers to any kind of weakness. Any kind of weakness. Three, In our verse, asthenia refers to our weakness in times of undeserved suffering, intense undeserved suffering. So in our verse, asthenia refers to our weaknesses in times of undeserved suffering, intense undeserved suffering. This is the undeserved suffering of the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, like Job. 4. It especially refers to the times and pressures of undeserved suffering when we try to make the right prayers to the Father. The winner believer has a fantastic prayer life. Spiritually mature believer has a tremendous prayer life, prays every day, and his prayers go right to the throne of God the Father. And in those prayers, why, he offers thanksgiving to God for who and what he is. He thanks God for his essence. He thanks God for his plan. Thanks God for Operation Grace, the cross. He thanks God for his essence and his attributes. He thanks him for his sovereignty and righteousness and justice and love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. He thanks God for all these things. And through that, he's offering as a royal priest, because in the church age, we are all a priest. We are all a royal priest. We've been commissioned a royal priest. And as a royal priest, we offer sacrifices. Now, in the age of Israel, it was a specialized priesthood. You had to be from the tribe of Levi to be a priest. And the sacrifices were animal sacrifices. But not in the church age, because those animal sacrifices were pictures of the cross, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, going to the cross and taking away the sins of the world. That's been fulfilled. So there's no more specialized priesthood, no more animal sacrifices. But every one of us have been commissioned a royal priest. You're all a priest. And as a priest, you offer sacrifices. And the sacrifices you offer are spiritual sacrifices. And those spiritual sacrifices are described in 1 Peter 2, 5, and 9, and also in Hebrews 13, 15, 16. And they include thanksgiving to God for who and what he is. Prayers of thanksgiving to God. It includes divine good production that honors and glorifies God to the maximum. It includes grace giving, which is a spiritual sacrifice for the royal priesthood to offer. All of that is defined. We're going to be studying that in great detail in our Wednesday class in 2 Corinthians, and we got it coming up again in our Romans class when we get on down the road here. If the pastor keeps on teaching. So it especially refers to the times and pressures of undeserved suffering when we try to make the right prayers to the Father. 5. But when times of undeserved suffering, when it's intense, we do not know precisely how to make those prayers. We don't have the ability to know precisely what it is that we need to pray for. 6. The Apostle Paul assures us that the intercessory prayer of God the Holy Spirit helps us at those times. He prays for us in those times. How great is that? God, the Holy Spirit, hold you up and prays for you in those fantastic times. So the Apostle Paul assures us that the intercessory prayer of God, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. 7. At such times, God, the Holy Spirit, prays for us. How fantastic is that? At such times, God the Holy Spirit prays for us. 8. God the Holy Spirit intervenes and prays the request that we ourselves, in intense undeserved suffering, are unable to pray. God the Holy Spirit intervenes and he prays the request that we ourselves, in intense undeserved suffering, are unable to pray. 9. In the believer's weakness, the proper and right prayer eludes them. In the believer's weakness, the proper and right prayer eludes them. Point 10. But God the Holy Spirit comes to your rescue. God the Holy Spirit comes to your rescue and intercedes for you with groans that words cannot express. God the Holy Spirit doesn't even use words. We're going to see that when we get on down. He doesn't even use words. He doesn't have to, by the way. He's the omniscient God. He has the same essence as the Father. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have the same essence. God the Father is omniscient. God the Son in his deity is omniscient. God the Holy Spirit is omniscient. And omniscience knows all about omniscience. So he doesn't have to use words. He prays, and the Father knows exactly what the Spirit is praying. All right. And then we have the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, which is our weaknesses. That's the weaknesses of the spiritually mature believer facing undeserved suffering for blessing. So, corrected translation. And in the same way, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, also helps on soon anti lambonomai. And in the same way, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, also helps, comes to the aid of the spiritually mature believer in times of undeserved suffering for blessing. He himself gives a helping hand to our weaknesses, undeserved suffering. He himself gives a helping hand to our weaknesses, all right? See, I used all three meanings of the word there. Since it's such a long word, we ought to have more than just help. No, I thought I put all three meanings in there. So catch that. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps, comes to the aid of the mature believer in times of undeserved suffering for blessing. He himself gives a helping hand to our weaknesses. And then we have, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Ah, thundering diction of the King James. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. All right, this is the postpositive conjunction gar with the neuter of the definite article ta, plus the first person plural of the verb oida with the negative uk, plus the neuter singular of the interrogative pronoun tis, plus the present middle subjunctive of proselkomai, and the verb day with the adverb katho. Now, this is... If you don't study, a pastor doesn't study from the original autographs, you'd never know this. And I'll be real honest. There are very few pastors that study from the original autograph. You have to prepare for the ministry. And preparing for the ministry includes learning the languages that God the Holy Spirit used in the ministry of inspiration. In the ministry of inspiration, God the Holy Spirit communicated the New Testament in Koine Greek and the Old Testament in Hebrew and Aramaic. And so I do all my study from Hebrew in the Old Testament and Koine Greek in the New Testament. I have three Bibles up here. They're all different translations. They're all English translations. They're not the God-breathed scriptures. They're translations. So the most important thing, I believe there's nothing at all more important than the Word of God and what God the Holy Spirit put there. He wants you to learn what He put there. And so after graduating from Washington State University, I went to graduate school at Dallas Theological Seminary, majored in Hebrew, minored in Greek. So that when I study, I can communicate to you exactly what God the Holy Spirit wants you to learn. Exactly. Now, we have something here. We haven't had this. We have, it's an article. Looks like that in the Greek. Looks like that in the English. This is totally unique. I've never seen this so far in my studies. This is the bracket force of the article. Didn't do anything for you? The bracket force of the article. This clause begins with the neuter. That's the neuter. Of the definite article ha, and the neuter is ta, and Dana and Manti, in their manual grammar of the Greek New Testament on page 146, says, the article ta converges the clause into a single point and presents the problem as a particular issue. Romans 8:26 being the perfect example. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Apostle Paul's point is this. That problem of praying as we ought, we do not know about. We have no ability to think correctly. We have no ability to concentrate. The article conveys the clause into a single point and presents the problem as a particular issue. And this is what is called the bracket force of the article. I know you want to get up and do push-ups or something, but let's get a couple of points. Not too many, because it's about time for taking a break. But one. The special use of the article in Romans 8:26 says that the undeserved suffering of the spiritually mature believer is so intense, so great, the pressure and the pain is maximum, that he can't think correctly. He can't concentrate to pray. So the special use of the article in Romans 8:26 says that the undeserved suffering of the winner believer is so intense, so great, the pressure and pain is maximum, that he can't think correctly nor concentrate to pray. Two, this intense, undeserved suffering makes effective prayer impossible. This intense, undeserved suffering makes effective prayer impossible. 3. When you stop thinking, your prayer is not effective. When you stop thinking, your prayer is not effective. Therefore, point 4, God the Holy Spirit gives you a helping hand. God the Holy Spirit gives you a helping hand. He takes your hand, as it were, and He prays to the Father for you. How awesome is that? 5. This is the Holy Spirit's ministry of intercessory prayer for the spiritually mature believer in times of undeserved suffering for blessing. This is the Holy Spirit's ministry of intercessory prayer for the spiritually mature believer in undeserved suffering for blessing. 6. The weakness is not the suffering encountered by the spiritually mature believer. The weakness is not the suffering. 7. The weakness is the inability to offer the proper prayer in times of undeserved suffering. The weakness is the inability to offer the proper prayer in times of undeserved suffering. Okay. We're going to take our break now. If it's too cold in here, I keep it cold so that it keeps you awake. Nobody falls asleep. Doesn't always work. You may fall asleep anyway. But if you need to warm up, go outside. I guarantee you, you'll warm up if you go outside. We'll take a break, and in a few minutes, we'll be back for part 2.